Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of today's sermon, The Mystery of the Trinity, based on various texts, but especially Matthew 28:19, when Jesus said, "Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And I invite you to follow your sermon outline that's provided for you on your worship handout this morning as we consider our theme, The Mystery of the Trinity. Mysteries. Who doesn't like a good mystery? Whether the mystery is found in a book, a TV show, a movie, or wherever, who doesn't like a good mystery? We want to find out who did it. We want to find out what's going to happen. We want to find out how is everything going to turn out. We all enjoy a good mystery. But the Bible uses the word mystery in a different way. In the Bible, mystery refers to the wonderful things of God that human beings cannot fully understand, but that God reveals to us in His Word. Let me say that again. Mystery refers to the wonderful things of God that human beings can't fully understand, but that God reveals to us in His Word. Just two examples of such mystery would be Holy Communion and the Trinity. And St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, "So then men ought to regard us as servants of Christ, and as those entrusted with the mysteries of God." Today we want to consider the mystery, the truth that God reveals Himself to us as one being, God. But He shows Himself to be three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This truth is at the very basis and foundation of our Christian faith. That's why Sunday after Sunday, we confess the creed that says, "I believe in God the Father. I believe in God the Son. I believe in God the Holy Spirit." But first of all, let's take a look at the Deuteronomy chapter 6 creed in the Old Testament. A creed is a Latin word which means, credo means, I believe. A creed is a statement of faith or belief. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." This ancient Hebrew creed is called the Shema, which means to listen or to pay attention. The creed is very, very simple. There is only one true God. This was an important statement of faith for the people of Israel, who were surrounded by pagan nations that had all manner of gods and idols made by the hands of men. Now let's take a quick look at the Genesis chapter 1 creed. Genesis 1 says this, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of waters, and God spoke forth His word and said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." At the beginning of creation, we see a testimony to the nature of the triune God. Did you catch it? God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are there together at creation. The Father created. The Spirit hovers. God speaks forth His word, and everything came into existence. And did you know in Holy Scripture, the Word is a title for Jesus? The first chapter of the Gospel of John helps us understand this. John 1 stands as a mirror to Genesis 1. Listen to John 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made." And then verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh." The Word is a title for Jesus. I'm going to read this passage again and substitute the name Jesus for the phrase "the Word," and you'll get what John is saying. "In the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made, and Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. As we said before, John 1 is to be a mirror of Genesis chapter 1. We are told that Jesus, the Word of God, was in the very beginning. He's eternal. Jesus, the Word, was with God. He was also alongside of the Heavenly Father. Jesus was God from the very beginning, just as truly as the Father was God. And all things came into existence through him. Through Jesus, the Word, God the Father spoke creation into existence. And then comes that wonderful verse 14. Verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus, the very eternal Word of God, Jesus, God himself, very God as very God, became flesh, became a human being. This one single verse in John's Gospel is his entire Christmas story. "And the Word became flesh." That's John's take on Christmas. And in today's gospel reading for our sermon from Matthew 28, we hear this same Jesus, the Word who became flesh, give a command to his disciples. Jesus had just risen from the grave in victorious Easter glory. He's ascending to his Father, and he's one last command for his disciples that he gives to us. And these words of God that he gives us become for us the very Word of God we speak at every baptism. Jesus said to his disciples, "Go make disciples of all nations." You can say it with me, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We also note in Matthew chapter 3 a testimony to the mystery of the Trinity. This event was at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry when he's being baptized in the Jordan River by John. Listen to what it says. "When Jesus had been baptized, he came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove upon him, and suddenly a voice from heaven, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" God the Son is baptized, God the Spirit descends like a dove, and God the Father speaks a voice from heaven. So here's the mystery. That's why our sermon is entitled "The Mystery of the Trinity." Here's the mystery. Deuteronomy 6 has clearly told us that there's only one true God. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." In all the other passages we've examined speak of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons in one being. So the question is, what is it? One or three? The answer is both. Or we can make up a German word, Herb, wie sagt man auf Deutsch yes? Wie sagt man auf Deutsch no? Nein. So we put ja and nein together, we get jein. It means nothing, but the question is it three in one, or is there one God or three persons? The answer is yin. The answer is yes. One being, God, reveals himself to us in three persons. And here is the mystery. As we said before, a mystery is this, according to the Bible. A mystery is a wonderful truth from God that human beings cannot fully understand, but that God reveals to us. Now, it's been said, and look at your sermon outline, it's been said that God leaves a testimony to the Holy Trinity in his creation. Consider water, one substance in three forms. From high school chemistry, or if we're doing chemistry in university, from high school chemistry we know that H2O is the chemical equation for water. Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. But this H2O substance appears in creation in three forms. Liquid, we call it water. Solid, we call it ice. Gas, like steam or clouds. Each form is H2O water. But each form is not the same as the other one. Now we consider the Trinity in Holy Scripture. God has placed a testimony to the Trinity in Holy Scripture. God is revealed as one being, three persons. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each person is God, but each person is not the same as the other. Again, here's the mystery. It is the mystery of God that we human beings cannot fully understand. And when we're faced with such mysteries, we have only two choices. I can trust my fallible human mind, or I can trust what God says in His holy word. And we trust God's word that He is who He says He is, one God in three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the wonderful mystery the Christian church celebrates at least once a year on Trinity Sunday. But notice, how do we start the service? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How are your sins forgiven? In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. What do we profess in the creed? I believe in God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. How is a child or an adult baptized? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How are we blessed? In the name of the triune God, again and again and again. Now, it's important that as much as possible, we understand the doctrines of the Bible. A doctrine is a key teaching of Holy Scripture. It's important as much as possible we understand the Bible's doctrines, like the Trinity. We need to know Christian doctrine so we don't get led astray by the many false teachings all around us. And the false teachings continue to multiply all around us. This is one of the reasons that I offer on a yearly basis the adult confirmation or adult instruction class. In this 13-week class, actually it's 13 lessons, about 8 weeks, we study the basic teachings of the Christian faith, the doctrines. And it just so happens, is this sermon a commercial? Yep. It just so happens that next Sunday morning we start our new round of the adult instruction class, learning the basics of the Christian faith, including the Trinity and the sacraments and all things of our faith. And members are welcome, too, to refresh their faith and to welcome these newcomers. It's important to understand doctrine, but just as important, if not more important, is trust in the heart, not just knowledge in the head. So says Psalm 31, verse 4, "But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God." Note also what it says in James 2:19. James says, "You believe there's one God? Good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder." James is speaking to people of his day, in our day, who say, "Oh, I believe there's a God." James says, "So what? Even the demons believe that God exists. They have head knowledge that God exists, but that is certainly not the same as trust in God. That kind of head knowledge," James says, "just causes the demons to tremble and shudder. It certainly does not put them in a right relationship with God." The same thing is true for people today all around us who say, "Well, I believe there's a God, but I'm not really worshiping Him or trusting Him." That head knowledge of doctrine needs to travel 18 inches from one's head to one's heart. And permit me to share an old story, which not only concludes our sermon, but illustrates the fact that knowledge travels to our heart. Alexander the Great was the warrior king of ancient Greece who defeated the powerful Persian Empire. At one point in his life, Alexander became very, very ill. And he sent for his personal doctor, whom he had loved and trusted, and who had cared for him for many years. But before the doctor came to him, a special messenger brought a letter that warned Alexander that the doctor was about to poison him, for he had joined the opposition against Alexander's throne. Alexander placed this letter under the pillow on his bed. The doctor came and poured out the medicine, and he gave it to Alexander. And Alexander looked his doctor full in the face and fully drank the contents of the cup. Then he handed the letter to his doctor. It was a beautiful trust, a trust earned by the many years of the doctor's faithful and loving care. My friends, on this Trinity Sunday, we have looked God full in the face. We have seen his true nature as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have known his everlasting, faithful, and loving care. And this knowledge of the triune God is not just head knowledge. Oh, hopefully you understand the mystery of the Trinity better today than before you came to this sermon. But far more important is that knowledge has turned into a trust and traveled 18 inches to your heart, that you more and more trust God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From now unto life everlasting. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.